Appreciate those that have led our singing today. David Allen did a great job this morning. Stephen did a great job tonight. This congregation is blessed with a lot of talented people. Many men here in this church are very capable song leaders. And it just amazes me sometimes when I begin to think about the talent that exists here at this place. And certainly I hope all of us feel a great deal of appreciation and thankfulness to be able to be a part of such a wonderful congregation. You know, when we think about laws, there's really two kinds of laws. There's the laws of man, there's the laws of the land, and of course there are the laws of God. Laws are very important. I believe we realize that laws have been made for our benefit. They've been made for our own good. In fact, one of God's ordained institutions, according to Romans chapter 13, is the government. And therefore, we are to submit to the government, regardless of what kind of government it may be, provided that does not conflict with the law of God. Of course, we have the principle given by Peter in Acts chapter 5, where he said we ought to obey God rather than men. And yet today it seems like that people can just seemingly break laws without any thought whatsoever. But even more serious than this, many think nothing at all about breaking or just ignoring the laws of God. I hope tonight that every one of us recognize the fact that we are free moral agents. Each one of us tonight can choose to obey the laws of the land. We can choose to obey the laws of God, or else we can choose to break the laws of the land and break and violate the laws of God. We can choose whether or not to submit our will to God's will. That's a choice that each one of us have the capability of making. But for your thinking tonight, I want to submit to you that there are four laws that are completely unbreakable. Now, these are four wonderful laws, I believe, in many respects. I believe these are laws that motivate us and encourage us, and we need to understand there is absolutely no possibility of anyone breaking these four laws. They simply cannot be broken. Unbreakable law number one tonight is the fact that God loves you unconditionally. You can't do anything to cause God to cease his love toward you. It simply cannot be done. You know, it's sad to me that there are people in our world today who actually feel like there is nobody in the world that loves and cares about them. What would it feel like tonight to actually feel as if there was no person in this world that loved you at all? And of course, the church is one place where love ought to thrive. Seeking the good of another person, seeking the interest of another person above our own interests and desires. I honestly believe that the golden rule is one of the most neglected rules of Christian living in our lives today. Because it's our natural tendency to be selfish, to focus on our own interest and our own desires. And many times we don't try to look out and see what we can do to show love and encouragement toward one another. I think that's true of adults. I think that's true in the lives of our young people, especially sometimes. You know, maybe we're here at church and we'll be nice to somebody while they're here and be friendly. And maybe at work, the next day we'll just ignore them, maybe treat them rudely. I've even noticed the fact that sometimes our young people can be this way in some respects. Maybe we treat our associates here with some kindness and we're cordial to them here, but maybe at school or in another situation, we may be even somewhat cruel to them by the way that we treat them. See, we need to practice the golden rule. We need to encourage one another. The church is the one place in this world where love needs to thrive. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another." And therefore, in the church, we need to build one another up. We need to encourage one another. We need to be there for one another. And yet, some people in this world actually feel like nobody loves them. But tonight we need to realize that we cannot ever escape the love of God. God loves every individual unconditionally. It doesn't matter how much you may have sinned. God loves you. It doesn't matter tonight how badly you may have harmed the cause of Christ. It matters not. God loves you unconditionally. It may be that you've done some things that are just terrible and awful, even in the eyes of the world. That does not alter the fact that God loves you. No matter how the world may feel about you, the world may hate you, you need to understand tonight that God loves you. And the Bible teaches over and over again that God loves us unconditionally. In John 3 and verse 16, God so loved the world. If you were the only one that ever lived on this earth, God loved even you enough to send his son to die for you. In Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 beginning, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." God commends his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says in Revelation 1 and verse 5, "Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." And of course, that great apostle of love, as he's commonly referred to, said in 1 John 4 and verse 19, "We love him because he first loved us." Now, I want you to notice tonight that I did not say that God is going to save you unconditionally, because he will not. But that does not alter the fact that God loves you unconditionally. God hates the sin, but God loves the sinner. And I hope every person here tonight will get this point. God loves you tremendously, more than you can even fathom with your finite mind. And there will never be anything that you'll be able to do to cause God not to love you any longer. But unbreakable law number two tonight is the idea that we must be forgiven of our sins or else we're going to be lost. That's a law that no person can hope to break unless we are forgiven of our sins. We have no hope for eternal life. And it's not going to do any good to argue about that, because that's what God's word plainly teaches. Jesus said, for example, in Matthew 18 and verse 3, "Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven." The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20 that there's not a just man who lives upon the earth who does good and sins not. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible tells us whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. And we know that 1 John 5 and verse 17 informs us that all unrighteousness is sin. And again, in James 4 and verse 17, the Bible tells us, therefore, to him who knows to do good, and certainly there's much good that we know to do, but to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Paul would even make the statement in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15 that Christ Jesus came to this earth to save sinners. And Paul said, if you line up all the sinners in the world, I'm the chief of them all. I'm the world's worst. And Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners, and I am number one. Romans 6 and verse 23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. And so there is not one person here tonight who is not guilty of sin. We all sin. We all fall short. And if we die in our sins, we're going to be lost. Yet so many times people refuse to humble themselves. They refuse to admit that they've done wrong, that they've sinned. Many times, there are those that never obey the gospel. They're never converted to Jesus Christ because they're simply unwilling to acknowledge their sins. Now, let's be impressed tonight with the fact that God loves us. God loves you unconditionally. Can't beat that kind of love. You can't describe that kind of love. And yet this second unbreakable law tells us that we must be forgiven of our sins by God or we're going to be lost. Now that naturally brings us to our third unbreakable law tonight. And that is that the only way to be forgiven of our sins is to do the will of Jesus Christ. Now, we cannot save ourselves. We can't do what we think we ought to do. We can't devise our own plan by which we might be saved. Now, if you go out in the religious world tonight, or maybe you turn on various religious programming that runs on many channels, especially on Sunday, you go to different churches in our area and you inquire about the will of God regarding salvation, you're going to find a wide variety of answers. Some may tell you, you know, just accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Or just invite Jesus into your heart right now and you'll be saved. Or if you'll just acknowledge that you believe in God, you'll be saved. Or if you'll just pray this prayer, which is quite commonly heard today. Just pray this prayer with me. You know, God, I'm a sinner. Please come into my heart and forgive me and make me your child. Then you can have salvation. Now, none of those things are found on the pages of God's Word. It's simply not there. Now, if we'll just put aside anything and everything we've ever heard about the forgiveness of sins and salvation, and simply go to the will of God and see what it says, we'll find the answer there is just as simple as 1 + 1. And I never got that wrong in school. I got it right every time. I messed up 1 × 1 first time I mess with multiplication tables, but I got 1 + 1. And salvation is as simple as 1 + 1. Now, we cannot save ourselves. Jeremiah said, I know the way of man is not in himself, is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. The wise man said in Proverbs 16 and verse 25, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We just can't devise our own means of salvation. But the Bible makes it very plain that forgiveness can only be found by doing the will of God. Listen to what the Lord said in Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. In Revelation 22 and verse 14, the Bible says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. According to 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, we purify our souls. We're made clean from sin by obeying the truth. And so what is the will of God for my life? If the only way to be forgiven of sin is to do the will of God, what is the will of God for my life? Well, the answer to that question depends on where you are in your relationship to God. You know, there may be some who are outside the body of Christ. You've never come into contact with the blood of Jesus. There are multiplied millions in our world who are lost and without hope. What are they to do to be saved? Again, it's as simple as 1 + 1 = 2. One must be willing to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, Romans 10 verse 17, and hearing by the word of God. We have to believe that God's word is true, and we need to understand the importance of turning to that word for our guidance in regard to salvation. And in hearing that word, we have to believe what that word says with all of our hearts. We need to believe in God. We need to believe that he is, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24, if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. But in every single instance, faith in the Bible, belief, always involves action. It always involves doing. Biblical faith is an obedient faith. And in that obedient faith, we must be willing to change our lives, repent of our sins, turn away from that past life, and give our lives to the Lord. The Lord said, unless you repent, you'll perish, Luke 13, 3 and 5. God commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17, verse 30. And we must be willing to acknowledge with our mouths that Jesus is the Son of God, just like the eunuch who said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, Acts 8 and verse 37. And of course, we complete our faith in an obedient way by being baptized into Christ. In the words of Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Galatians 3 and verse 27 informs us, for as many of you as has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Paul was told in Acts 22 and verse 16, why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 tells us that the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. And of course, we know from Acts chapter 2 that that act of baptism puts one into the church, the body of Christ, as the Lord adds us there, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. And after obeying the gospel, we must be faithful until we die, even if it means death, Revelation 2 and verse 10. But you know, it's possible for us who are in the body of Christ to mess our lives up, to become entangled once again in sin. What are we to do? Do we need to be baptized all over again if we've already obeyed the gospel and had our sins washed away? Again, it's as simple as 1 + 1 = 2. We're told in the Bible that if we have gone back into sin as Christians, that we are simply to confess those sins. We are to repent of those sins and to ask God in prayer to forgive us and to restore us to where we were. Simon, who had obeyed the gospel, was told to do those very things in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. And so a third unbreakable law of God is that our sins can only be forgiven by doing the will of Christ. But lastly tonight and quickly, another unbreakable law that nobody here can possibly defy is the fact that one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to face God on the day of judgment. There is a day of reckoning coming. And one day, you and I alone will stand before God in judgment. We'll give an account of our lives. There's no way that we can postpone that. There's no way to avoid that appointment. The Bible makes it very clear that no individual is going to miss this day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 tells us that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, John said, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open, and the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. Jesus tells us in John 12 and verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words, he has one who judges him. These words that I have spoken, Jesus said, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so let's not forget this unbreakable law that all of us will stand before God in judgment. Now, there's nothing that anybody can do to get around these laws. There's no way to bypass them. They're fixed. They're permanent. And because of these laws, because of the fact that they're unavoidable, we have to make a choice. Now, the Bible tells us everything we need to know about sin, what sin is. The Bible tells us about the love of God that we've talked about tonight. The love that was so great that he provided the means by which we can be saved. The Bible tells us about the will of God that we must obey in order to be forgiven. And the Bible warns us about the impending judgment, the time that's coming in which we're going to give an account for the deeds done in our body. And I'm so thankful that since that day is coming, God has blessed us by giving us a book. He's given us a manual. And we can read and we can know for sure how we ought to live. And we can know the standard by which we're going to be judged. We need to recognize tonight that God is the author of eternal salvation to those that obey him. I hope salvation tonight is something that you're enjoying while together we stand and sing.